And here on KBRB, we are joined on the phone lines by Nebraska 43rd District State Senator Tom Brewer. Colonel, thanks for joining us, and wanted to get an update on what's happening down Lincoln Way.
Well, we're a month into it, and we have seen some bills that will probably have a lot of traction, and we've seen some bills that probably are going to die a horrible death. You know, this time of the year, they start thinning themselves out to a degree because you have committee hearings, and some have a lot of support, and others kind of get left behind and don't get any support at all. But, you know, right now for us, our priority bill was LB 773, which was the constitutional carry bill. It was presented several weeks ago, and actually the first week that we could present bills, it was presented, and the response was good. We had, I believe, over 1,000 letters, and the presentation went well, and then they came to me on Thursday and said that they would not execute my bill. So kind of heartbreaking there. That will now force us to do what's called a poll motion. To do that, we need 25 votes on the floor. We have 20 co-sponsors, so I think getting to 25 is very doable. Getting to 33, because it will likely be filibustered, will be a little more of a push. So we'll, you know, just have to hope we can make it.
Well, it seemed like reading some information from that committee hearing that the main opposition came from law enforcement in the metro areas.
It did, and they're concerned about gang violence, and I understand that concern. But the problem is it's hard to have the issues of gang violence determine what the rest of the state of Nebraska is able to, you know, have a right. And that's kind of what they're saying is you guys can't have your right to constitutional carry because it could affect our ability to manage gang violence. And my point to them was, listen, those gangs are not going to follow the laws, have not followed the laws, and we shouldn't be at the mercy of them not doing what they should be doing. And so it's a little bit convoluted how they approached it. The other thing I told them is, you know, in western Nebraska, many times counties only have a couple of deputies, and they may not be available. So for someone to have the ability to protect themselves or their family is critical, and they shouldn't have to worry about going to jail for carrying a concealed weapon when they can carry an open carry weapon, and it's not an issue. But if they put on a coat, now they potentially go to jail for it. That's not right, and that's why we want constitutional carry in my district. And it's, you know, in fact, I don't think we've received a single letter in opposition to constitutional carry that comes out of the 43rd.
Well, not surprising there. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, you know, to break that 33-vote filibuster-proof cloture, you know, get that cloture invoked. Have to do some heavy lifting there with the urban senators if they've got their law enforcement hard against it. But could have a lot of citizenry in those areas in favor. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Wanted to have you talk a little bit about, I know there's some major bills out there, and they haven't come to the floor yet, obviously, and, you know, just in committee, but that would change the state aid formula and basically provide a base rate per student for each district that would get some money flowing out to the 43rd and other rural districts, which, you know, in the past, rural districts hadn't really been in favor of as a per-student basis, but now in the days where they get zero, I guess they're back in tune to saying, hey, maybe this base state aid support is better than we've had.
And I think the way this bill's written, it is, the challenge is going to be that just like the issue of constitutional carry, when it's a issue that is seen as very well received and supported by central and western Nebraska, basically outside Lincoln and Omaha, you run into the wall of the population, which, again, it's a unicameral, so it's on population, and they have the votes. So it will be hard. I anticipate that the teacher union coming in against it, and it's perceived as a loss of funding to Lincoln and Omaha. I don't believe it is. It's how they're wording it, and their description of it. That's that's affecting this. And so, you know, the other thing is, it's getting late in the year. I know you think, well, you're only a month into it, but when it comes to committee hearings, you're getting pretty late. And unless it has a priority and can get out of committee in the next week, probably, it really doesn't have much chance of making it, because we're going to chew up 2 to 3 weeks fighting over budget, because the budget isn't just the $1.15 billion that the federal government's giving in COVID money. But it's also the over $1 billion that we have in the rainy day fund that's going to get trimmed. It's the $250 million above what we had anticipated in state revenues, and then the base budget. And all of those combined is a very, very large sum of money that we're going to have to sort out. And again, the challenge, let's take a look at the lake that they want to build between Lincoln and Omaha. It'll be surrounded by million-dollar homes. It will be a huge economic driver for Lincoln and Omaha. And, you know, for that $430 million or whatever that final price tag is going to be, I just think we could do a lot more for the rest of Nebraska. And the budget is just a collage of those kind of things to help Lincoln and Omaha, and not as much out of state as we should. It's not proportional. And we just, unfortunately, we don't have enough voices to be as effective as we should be in trying to shift some of that money around. Because, well, we won't have the votes as long as Lincoln and Omaha don't buy into it.
Well, it seemed like there have been a plethora of bills coming out that want $20 million here, $30 million here, $60 million here over a certain number of years for, you know, whether it's reductions to state income tax, whether it's the elimination of Social Security taxation on those wages and speeding up that process that had already been approved. But, you know, we've got this one-time basically big surplus on top of federal dollars that we're talking about. Are you concerned if we take so many means of taxation away that at some point some of the programs that need to be funded won't have that for future legislatures? I mean, in an 8-year span on with term limits, it would be for future senators basically to deal with, but nobody ever likes to see taxes raised or new taxes implemented. But do you see if too many are taken away or lowered that it becomes an issue in the future, or are you content that with the budget we're seeing, with the economy the way we're seeing it, that it can support these types of reductions?
Yeah, that's another great question, because we've got a lot of people that have got a lot of ideas. This place is full of good idea fairies. And I think we're borderlining on that possibility. Now, here's kind of the other side of it. For some reason, once we start a program, we can never get rid of it. Matter of fact, it always expands. And therein lies our challenge, because we've got a lot of programs that are growing on us. And we'll start growing in a way that we may not be able to keep up. For example, you know, the number of refugees that we bring into the state, that all affects our Medicaid and Medicare, actually. And we might see that jump to twice what it is now. Well, we're not prepared for that. But there's no way to know that. So I think the future is going to have some challenges, because we're on the sugar high right now, where the government is just pouring money on us left and right. And if we start programs with this money that extend into the future, and then we don't have a way to sustain that, because those programs will, you know, double the first year, and from there, it's anybody's guess where they go, then we're in trouble. But we're specifically trying to keep that from happening. We may already be in trouble with the programs we have. Now, we, you know, when I started 6 years ago, we were $1 billion in the hole, and we scraped ourselves out of that, and we, you know, rebuilt the rainy day fund, and we balanced some things. And even through that, we didn't cut programs, really. You know, it's just something where once they start, they're there for life, it seems like. And it's sad, because some of these programs need to go, but everybody has got someone to come in and complain if you threaten their program. And then, of course, everybody, you know, concerned that there'll be somebody left out in the cold. And in reality, sometimes you need to leave some folks out, because that program is no longer effective, and there's a few people living on the gravy train from it, and the rest of everybody's paying for it.
Well, you know, with the federal funds coming in, obviously a one-time disbursement, it sounds like you're probably more in favor of trying to identify some one-time priority projects that with a certain cash infusion that fall under those guidelines that you can do some things, make some progress in the state, but then not have an ongoing financial commitment.
And the biggies are going to, of course, be the prison and possibly that lake, and then, of course, the water project out on the Colorado border. Those are going to be major, you know, drivers of how we spend money. You know, the questions on the prison is how big do we build it? You know, I'm of the opinion that we need to build a little bigger than they're planning on right now because I don't want to have to do it again in the future. The idea that we have right now is that becomes a maximum security prison Tecumseh becomes the medium, and then Lincoln becomes the minimum. All of the facilities in Lincoln and Tecumseh need refurbish, which means moving prisoners around. Well, we got nowhere to move them. We don't have a prison. So a lot of them that argue that we don't need a new prison really need to step back and look at it. You know, 100-and-some-year-old prison in Lincoln, and Tecumseh was built poorly designed. And so there's tons of issues there. And so we just have to do that if we're going to really have a safety factor for Nebraskans with our number of prisoners that we have in there and how we're going to manage them.
Well, it might be the one time where you have the funds to pay for it up front without having to rob from other programs. It's going to cause a lot more uproar if you had to do a project like a new prison, but balance that by cutting funds elsewhere. You've got the potential to fund that and not have to take away and again be that one-time funding mechanism.
And if there's issues with whether or not the COVID money can be used on that, we've got the luxury of a rainy day fund that's very fat and needs to be trimmed some. We got to figure out what right looks like as far as how much should that rainy day fund have. But it sounds like around $800 million is probably a good estimate if you look at what we needed a few years ago when we had all the flooding and problems. So that leaves us about $350-400 million and that account, well, it just has to be just about what we need for the prison. So there you go. From there, we're looking at there's a lot of road projects, bridge projects. There's just those things that cost a lot of money that we can manage with this influx of money that will save us from having to have pains in the future. So I still question the need for that lake at Ashland, but, you know, time will tell on that one.
Well, you mentioned it briefly. What do you think of the water project out onto the South Platte, out into Colorado? I imagine if they even tried to start that, you're going to run into 10 years worth of lawsuits from the state, as well as, you know, you're going to have some eminent domain issues, I'm sure, with trying to create a canal over what would have to be a stretch as private land.
Well, the governor is dead set on doing this, and he's making it sound like we've got commitments that we got to fulfill. And so I don't know. I think there's kind of a general feeling that one may happen out there. I agree. I think there's going to be a lot of challenges to get it done. But if we truly are legally bound, then maybe there's going to have to be something along those lines built. I don't know if it'll look exactly like they're planning right now or not.